We're trying out a new sound system. I'm feeling like a rock star this morning. So they break out into song and dance. No, never mind. I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I will begin by reading the scripture lesson from the Gospel of Luke. As we've heard mentioned, it is the passage we call the Transfiguration, when Jesus has been speaking to his disciples about what it means to be his follower, and then takes three of those disciples up on the mountaintop to pray. And so we begin in prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear then the word of God. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with Jesus. Just as those men were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter said this, not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of years ago, the internet world introduced the cloud. The cloud isn't really a cloud, not in the meteorological sense of the word. It's just another name for internet storage that allows you to access your files independent of any physical device, such as a flash drive or a CD or one of those old-fashioned floppy disks. Was it that long ago that those seemed so cool? Now, for instance, I can type my sermon on my computer at home and then save it in the cloud, which enables me then to access that sermon from any internet device, a phone, a computer, a tablet, anything. I mean, it boggles the mind, at least this mind. One can imagine billions of information molecules hovering somewhere in the sky, gathering for some kind of massive cloudburst that would devastate most of us if we were suddenly without the internet. But that internet cloud has nothing on the biblical cloud, as evidenced by this story of the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a nearby mountaintop with the intention of spending some time in prayer. The three amigos are weighed down with sleep, but they manage just to keep their eyes open, and thus they are witnesses to the arrival of those two Old Testament heroes, Moses and Elijah. Now, this doesn't seem to frighten the disciples. In fact, Peter gets all excited about pitching tents so they can all have a place to hang out. But before he can unload his backpack, an ominous cloud rolls in and swallows them all up in darkness. The disciples are terrified by the cloud, not unlike the way a lot of us feel about that internet cloud. And then the cloud speaks in a voice with a message that sounds eerily similar to the one spoken by the voice after Jesus' baptism.
"This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him."
Wow. When the cloud lifts, Moses and Elijah are gone. Only Jesus and the quaking disciples remain. When the cloud speaks, people listen. At least for that brief moment. Listening well, that is not an easy task. Most of us are better talkers than listeners, preachers included. And if that sounds harsh, consider this. When someone is talking to you, are you taking in that other person's words, their tone of voice, the messages that are being conveyed in between the lines? Or are you thinking about what your response is going to be? What am I going to say to what that person is saying? Or maybe you're trying to figure out how the conversation relates to you. Even worse, are you pretending to listen? Putting on that thoughtful face, and you're really thinking about what's for dinner, you know, which team's going to win the big game. A good listener is a rare gift. And if we have such a hard time listening to people, it's even more difficult to listen to Jesus and to hear the message he has for us. What is that message? The passage in the Bible that precedes the story of the Transfiguration gives us a clue. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah of God." But then as soon as Jesus starts to explain what it means to follow him, when he starts talking about suffering and dying and taking up crosses, the disciples plug their ears. Suffering? Rejection? Death? Those are not words they want to hear. It's hard to listen to what Jesus says. We'd rather plug our ears, because along with the messages that come from God of love and forgiveness and grace come reminders that life includes suffering and pain and despair. And we, as followers of Christ, are called to put ourselves at risk to do something about these things. We can't plug our ears. There's a message to be heard, and there is work to be done. When I sat down to write this sermon, I thought I knew the direction it was going to take. I had studied the passage and read books and taken notes, and I thought I had heard that God wanted me to preach on ways that we can improve our listening skills, especially when it comes to listening to Jesus. And I had a stack of books on spiritual practices piled right there on the desk next to the computer, ready to reference, with excerpts on traditional disciplines such as prayer and meditation and Bible reading. It's going to be kind of a cheerful, encouraging kind of sermon preparation for Lent. And then as I was typing away, I started to procrastinate. Well, there was laundry to be done, so I had to do a couple loads of laundry. Then the dog needed taken out, so I had to stop and take the dog out. And, of course, Words with Friends on my iPad. And then I turned to the ever-present distraction of Facebook. And that's when God got my attention. So I scrolled down the news feed to see what friends had posted. I came across a page for the Zechariah Sexual Abuse Center in Gurnee. A representative from the Z Center spoke during Sunday school just a few weeks ago here, as it's one of the organizations that we support with our mission funding. The Z Center is dear to our own family's heart, for we have had personal experience as recipients of their services, and we will be forever grateful for the ways in which the Z Center supported our family and this church during a terrible time in our lives. LePage had a poster called 10 Things Men Can Do to End Violence Against Women, and included such guidelines as step up to create a culture shift that doesn't tolerate disrespecting or degradation of women. Now, I can name a few Super Bowl ads that easily fall into the category of degrading women. Every time we objectify women as means for selling cars or beer, every time we laugh at dumb blonde jokes, we are disrespecting and disregarding women. Another guideline on the page was stand up and speak out. Silence affirms and supports sexual and domestic violence. Stand up and speak out. And that's when it hit me. I heard the voice of Jesus in those words, because he was all about standing up and speaking out for the victimized, the violated, and the voiceless. But oh, the temptation to plug our ears. Is this a message we want to hear and act upon? Don't just sit there and be silent and tolerate degradation and disrespect. Stand up and speak out. Well, that's risky business. But that's how we know it is the voice of Jesus speaking to us when we are being challenged to do the right thing when it isn't the easy thing to do. When the cloud speaks, listen. What is the voice calling you to do to make a difference in our world? Is it refusing to tolerate jokes that degrade other people, even if you get made fun of for doing so? Is it volunteering your time with the Z Center or a safe place or our church's food pantry when it be much nicer to sleep in on Saturday morning, especially when the weather is cold and snowy? You know, often when the cloud speaks, we are going to be knocked off our feet with surprise, trembling as the disciples did when that cloud came rolling in over the mountain. But if we listen carefully, we can count on this, that it's not always going to be easy to follow Jesus. But we will be transfigured if we do. One of those books I was reading to talk about spiritual disciplines is 7,000 Ways to Listen by author Mark Nepo, and he writes in that book, unpredictable as life itself, the practice of listening is one of the most mysterious, luminous, and challenging art forms on earth. And how true that is, especially when it comes to listening to the voice of Jesus. For God does speak in mysterious ways, including that cloud at the Transfiguration. And yes, even in the internet cloud, through a Facebook page read by a procrastinating preacher. You join me in prayer? Lord, it is hard to listen to one another, let alone to your voice, which gets tangled amidst all the voices out there that are telling us who to be and how to act. But your voice rises above them all like that cloud on the mountaintop. That this life as a disciple is no easy task, We are called to service and to stand up and speak out for the victimized and the voiceless. Give us ears to hear and hearts to follow. For these things we pray in the name of the one who leads us and loves us, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. And let all God's people say, Amen.